Live from New York City, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. I'd like to welcome you to this program. This is a special, in-depth, original investigative reporting white paper entitled Killing Homeopathy and America's Freedom of Health Choices. This report has taken nearly a year of in-depth investigative reporting, interviews, and a careful reading of all the American literature and world literature on the subject of homeopathy and its protagonist and antagonist. Leading this investigation was our senior executive producer and scholar-in-residence, Richard Gale. With the unknown, one is confronted with danger and discomfort and worry. The first instinct is to abolish these painful sensations. The first principle, any explanation is better than none. The search for causes is thus conditioned by and excited by the feeling of fear. The question why is not pursued for its own sake, but to find a certain kind of answer, an answer that is pacifying, tranquilizing, and soothing. So says Friedrich Nietzsche in Twilight of the Idols. A fundamental foundation of American democracy is our freedom of choice. We have the legitimate right to pursue a career, decide where to live, what to read or watch, the freedom to vote or not, and to decide who to marry or live with. Americans hold these freedoms sacred, at least in theory. However, during the past decades, an ethos has arisen, associated with the American Medical Association, the pharmaceutical industry, professional organizations, medical publications, and the mainstream media, including its health reporters, and of course state, federal, and local legislators, largely benefiting from the largesse of private drug companies adamantly pushing to limit our medical choices. This medical regime wants to choose and dictate the types of medicines available and to enforce how we are diagnosed for any mental condition. They have mastered the art of pathologizing life. If you doubt me, then just see how many children each day upon arising take some form of medication to treat their mental conditions, their brain chemical imbalances, so we are told, such as ADD and ADHD, or bipolar conditions. They've already mastered the art of pathologizing women's lives. More than 25% of women between the ages 25 and 45 are now taking, on a regular basis, some form of antipsychotic or antidepressant medication with severe consequences and no cures. So, in effect, this medical regime wants to choose and dictate everything about medicine. They have mastered the art of being able to control all the outcomes. They control the media, they control the legislative process, they control who gets published in medical peer-reviewed journals. They control curriculums in medical school and nursing school. They control what dietitians are taught. They control the state medical boards and hence the licensure process. Defy them and watch how quickly you are reminded there is only one truth in science and medicine, and it is official science and medicine's truth. No other truth is allowed. Hence, we have little choice in having access to the best information that would protect us from unhealthy water and unhealthy foods, unhealthy vaccinations, unhealthy medications. We are not opposed to medications or any system within medicine that improves the quality of a person's life, extends that life, and is safe. But that is not what we're faced with today. To illustrate this point, the Department of Health and Human Services and the FDA curtailing all positive information on homeopathy and making efforts to eliminate it altogether. This is accomplished under the misinformed ruse that it is an unproven therapy and has no science behind it. It has not undergone any rigorous conventional medical science. Therefore, in their minds, homeopathy should be banned. Now, although homeopathy is not banned legislatively, it is not difficult to see where the FDA and the Health and Human Services are headed, because historically, the federal agencies and professional medical associations repeatedly state that homeopathy has no basis in science. It is no more than water. Denying the virtues of homeopathy scientific evidence, the medical establishment claims that the homeopath is engaged in fraud. Other countries that recognize homeopathy, notably Brazil, France, Germany, India, and Switzerland, are never mentioned in their discussions in the basement of homeopathy and their neglect of the scientific literature. As we will present today, there is an appreciable body of clinical trials, including double-blind, placebo-controlled studies and basic scientific experiments confirming homeopathy's efficacy and safety. For 200 years, hundreds of millions of people have benefited from homeopathic medications throughout the world. Therefore, why is the entire apparatus of our national and state medical system, including the CDC, the FDA, the National Institutes of Health, the National Cancer Institute, etc., so rabidly opposed to it? In 2016, the Federal Trade Commission demanding that homeopathic procedures include on the label that they do not work is just one extreme case. And why is there no sincere and objective effort underway to scientifically validate or invalidate its safety and efficacy? Why does the media, including the New York Times and the Washington Post and CNN, as well as the liberal media, including Mother Jones, The Atlantic, and Slate, that otherwise pride themselves in criticizing pharmaceutical malfeasance and profiteering, fail to give any serious attention to homeopaths' success? Our in-depth conclusions clearly show that homeopathy is indeed a legitimate medical system and an effective intervention for many conditions. Therefore, it deserves its place as a viable option for healthcare choice. However, at the same time, it faces a formidable and dishonest force, including Wikipedia, with a mission to demean, discourage, and ultimately to destroy homeopathy. Very often, after using conventional medicine and discovering either no improvement or severe drawbacks from drugs' adverse effects, people seek alternative treatments. Some may hear about homeopathy and want to investigate it. Often they search the internet, and more often than not, it'll lead to Wikipedia, where they will discover in the first and subsequent paragraphs that homeopathic, quote, is a pseudoscience, a belief that is incorrectly presented as scientific. Homeopathic preparations are not effective for treating any condition. Large-scale studies have found homeopathy to be no more effective than a placebo, indicating that any positive effects that follow treatment are not due to the placebo effect, normal recovery from illness, or regression towards the mean. Outside of the alternative medicine community, scientists have long considered homeopathy a sham, or pseudoscience, and the mainstream medical community regards it as quackery. There's an overall absence of sound statistical evidence of therapeutic efficacy, which is consistent with the lack of any biological, plausible pharmaceutical agent or mechanism, end quote. Certainly a patient suffering from an illness, which may possibly be treated successfully with a homeopathic preparation, will read Wikipedia's entry and say, no luck there. Let's move on. If we listen solely to the skeptics, a quasi-rationalist movement of scientific idolatry, and the advocates of science-based medicine, and now increasingly government health officials, homeopaths, explanation is always the same. They state, in chorus, homeopathy is only water. It is foolish and unscientific. Worse, we are told it is a dangerous and even life-threatening homeopathy, so the skeptics believe, fails to meet the standards of modern evidence-based medicine and should therefore be avoided. End of story. Not quite. This is not the story's end. In fact, it's only the beginning. How many people actually know who are the skeptic authors and editors working within Wikipedia and the mainstream media to discredit homeopaths and homeopathy and other legitimate alternative and integrative medical disciplines? These individuals claim to be the final arbiters of truth. We know who they are, as well as their leading gurus basking in the citadels of materialistic reductionism and speaking on behalf of skepticism's worldwide movement. These are the people who suffer from a kind of philosophical and irrational unconsciousness, who find pacifism, tranquility, and soothing hearkened in Nietzsche's quote that I just gave, in an extreme reductionist view of the world that is buried in repressed fantasies and fears. A salient psychological feature of fundamentalism, either religious or skeptic or scientific, is its intense fear of being proven wrong, which it battles against with absurd, irrational arguments. And for this reason, it is a serious social and health problem because it is inherently capable of inflicting enormous harm, in my opinion. The priests in this citadel who serve the scientific and technological elites of postmodernity, namely federal health agencies and the pharmaceutical and industrial complex, in fact properly speak their truths about homeopathy and other non-conventional medicine, but their truths are individual truths, not universal truths, and they only exist within a very specified, narrow, and limited context or field from which they criticize science they either don't or refuse to understand or incapable of accurately explaining. For this reason, they are easily criticized because, in fact, they are the self-anointed spokespersons for the dire failings of modern scientific culture and conventional medicine and repressive government health policies. Dr. Stephen Novella, the acknowledged founder of science-based medicine, describes homeopathy as, quote, a pre-scientific philosophy-based system on magical thinking. Essentially, homeopathy uses fanciful treatments that are based on silly ideas, such as the personality of the patient, but also sympathetic magic. The belief is that homeopathic remedies contain the magical essence of symptoms that can be used to cure those same symptoms, end quote, is oncologist and breast cancer surgeon Dr. David Gorski. Gorski writes, quote, homeopathy is a perfect quackery. The reason that homeopathy is so perfect as a form of quackery is because it is quite literally nothing, end quote. But are the skeptics perhaps accurate in their assessment about homeopathy? Is over-diluting a substance in water, whereby the atoms are no longer detectable, any more bioactive than plain water? Yes, we need to ask these questions to be fair and objective. But it is also wise to parallel this inquiry and ask whether most conventional drugs and medical procedures or therapies safely work and properly improve and save lives. In emergency medicine, absolutely. In all other chronic care, not on your life. For 2018, it is estimated that 1.7 million Americans will be diagnosed with cancer, and there'll be over 600,000 cancer deaths. On the positive side, cancer cases and mortality have decreased slightly. This would hardly seem to be the case given the toxic chemical-filled environment average Americans live in. Look at the abomination called the standard American diet. Look at the lack of exercise. Look at how pervasive a sedentary lifestyle is. Look at the stress we live under. Look at the toxins we breathe and drink and eat every day. Any wonder, then, that this rate isn't even higher? Is the drop in cancer rates due to better chemotherapeutic drugs and more precise radiation therapy and surgery? Or is this decline partially due to the fact that millions of Americans are now turning to alternative medicine and healthier lifestyles as a preventative measure in adopting a healthier diet? A search on the National Institutes of Health medical database produced over 28,000 separate studies published just on green tea, over 13,000 studies on curcumin, 8,300 studies for ginseng. Now, for this reason, the health benefits of these natural products cannot be utterly ignored, although skeptics make every attempt to do so. Fortunately, a growing number of people are not listening to the skeptic's message. If I ask the average skeptic, what do you know about vitamin C, its chemistry in the body, how it breaks down, how the cells use it, what impact it has on natural killer cell activity, leukocytes, lymphocytes, phagocytes, phagocytosis, how it thins the blood, how it benefits in its free radical scavenging, at that moment, you begin to see the defensive reactions. If I suggested that there are over 25,000 studies just on vitamin C and over 30,000 studies on vitamin E, and I could go through all the different nutrients, and you would come up with over 500,000 studies, and yet these are the very same people who frequently say vitamins only are creating expensive urine, they don't really do anything, you get all you need from your diet. But the science, real science, evidence-based science, challenges that. In the United Kingdom, 6 out of 10 cancer patients also use alternative medicine, primarily Western Chinese herbal preparations. In Canada, 54% of cancer patients use alternative medicine as well, including homeopathy, and approximately half of that percentage abandon chemo and radiation altogether. In an 18 nationwide survey of 65,000 cancer patients, 40% were following complementary and alternative medicine protocols. That percent was very likely increased during the past 7 years as people became progressively disillusioned with the promises of allopathic drugs-based medicine. Increasingly, patients are becoming victims of pharmaceutical drugs' adverse effects and are witnessing drugs' lethal consequences in family members and friends who place their faith solely in the dominant medical paradigm. If conventional anti-cancer regimens are as effective as science-based medicine community would have us believe, why would patients turn to treatments outside the medical establishment? Frequently, patients start conventional treatments, and after it fails to provide relief, turn to alternative modalities. Criticisms against the growing popularity in homeopathy and natural medicine are fierce. Conventional health care is increasingly losing the public trust, and for excellent reasons. More and more people realize that to remain healthy, we must educate ourselves and become responsible for our own health. And besides, for a growing number of Americans, health care is out of their financial reach. This trend is anathema to skeptics who throw their entire weight into the gospel word of conventional medicine. However, the most often cited studies published in journals such as The Oncologist and the Journal of the National Cancer Institute, which argue against the use of alternative medicine alone, are observational and often present conflicts of interest with private drug companies manufacturing anti-cancer drugs. Today, in India, more than 200,000 practicing homeopaths and 12,000 new graduates begin practice every year. The Banjari Homeopathic Research Foundation in Kolkata, India, has been successfully treating severe brain, breast, and lung cancers for several decades. According to the American Brain Tumor Association, life expectancy for highly malignant brain glioblastoma tumors is 2 to 3 years with conventional chemo and radiation treatments. Gliomas are largely regarded as incurable. Banerjee's homeopathic protocols, on the other hand, find 30% of glioma patients surviving well beyond this threshold without any cancer drugs or radiation. Patients also experience a higher quality of life without the serious adverse and debilitating effects of suffering from chemo drugs. Between 1990 and 2005, the foundation has treated over 17,000 cancer patients with a 19% complete regression rate for severe malignant tumors, and 21% became stable or improved after treatment. Quite simply, after traveling around the world, going to Germany and other places to determine the success rate of cancer treatments, I found the highest rate of cure sustainable was 16.6% cure rate for Dr. Joseph Issel's therapy in Germany. And that was published in a peer-reviewed journal. In the United States, it can be 0 to 1 to 2%. So to have a 21% stable improved but 19% complete regression rate for severe malignant tumors is simply unheard of. That in itself should beckon those in the National Cancer Institute, the American Cancer Society, and all the other cancer forums at MD Anderson, Roswell Park, Cleveland Clinic, the Mayo Clinic, and Sloan Kettering to travel there and to see for yourself. Their records are available. They've hidden nothing. It is all transparent. That should be a new beginning. In fact, Prasanta Banerjee has been practicing homeopathy for 55 years, and his clinic now averages 800 to 900 patients every day, and 300 to 400 are treated free of charge. His protocols for brain and breast cancer have been studied at the prestigious MD Anderson Cancer Center, Department of Molecular Genetics in Houston, which confirmed that the foundation's preparations selectively killed cancer cells without harming normal cells. Their paper, entitled RUTA, that's R-U-T-A, 6 selectively induces cell death in brain cancer cells but proliferation in normal peripheral blood lymphocytes, a novel treatment for human brain cancer, was published in the peer-reviewed journal, the International Journal of Oncology, and a joint investigation with the National Cancer Institute was published in the journal Oncology Reports. Today, the Banerjee model is being used in over 80 countries that we determined, and Banerjee's work, as well as that of other homeopathic doctors, condemned by skeptics and science-based medicine physicians, is also featured in a penetrating, must-see documentary called Magic Pills, Promise or Placebo, directed by Canadian homeopathic practitioner Ananda Moore, that's M-O-R-E. So let's just review for a moment. On the one hand, we're told there is no science backing up homeopathy, and yet we just presented you the publications, mainstream scientific institutions, including the National Cancer Institute, MD Anderson Cancer Center, and the highest cure rate in the world ever produced on thousands of patients. So by every measure, they have shown that homeopathy works. Do not blame homeopathy if someone else is not willing to duplicate their results using their protocols. They have done what people said could not be done. In my personal opinion, what they have done at that institute in India is no different than Bannister breaking the 4-minute mile. The whole world and all the leading scientists and engineers said the human body could not go faster than 4 minutes a mile. He broke it. He went into 3-minute 50-some range. And then shortly thereafter, others did. Imagine what would happen if now that they have a high cure rate, higher than anyone else has ever obtained in any of the, with the end-stage serious cancers, imagine how that could revolutionize all of our treatments in the United States. And yet we're told that doesn't even exist, but it does. Sir Karl Popper noted as that an absolute truth can never be established because it would require an infinite number of experiments and trials. However, absolute falsity can be settled because any absolute skeptic claim, such as there being no scientific basis for homeopathy whatsoever, is immediately falsified once a single exception is found. And Dr. Banerjee's clinical results and an indisputable systemic and meta-analysis review of individualized homeopathic studies conducted by Robert Maddy at the British Homeopathic Institute provided many exceptions to discredit the skeptic's absolute scientism. According to Dr. Alex Touraine, a physicist and founding director of the Homeopathic Research Institute in London and the Water Research Laboratory in Germany, has stated that no one in the skeptic or medical science communities has been able to debunk Maddy's work. Otherwise, the 800 million people globally who rely upon homeopathy regularly are suffering from some hallucination. Moreover, 95% of all French general practitioners would be challenged, but they are correct in using homeopathy. This is what skeptics and science-based medicine wants us to believe and consistently promulgate while ignoring conventional medicine's litany of false promises. The homeopathic literature comprises over 1,000 clinical trials, 2,200 basic science experiments and observational studies. Unfortunately, homeopathic science has suffered and even been set back from a lack of large randomized clinical trials, and this is due to negligible funding and obstruction from governments, private interests, and skepticism's propaganda to obstruct investigations into homeopathy's energetic principles and medical benefits. One rigorous case study concerns a severe 1988 meningococcal outbreak in Brazil. At the time, the Brazilian government did not possess sufficient vaccines. Therefore, a group of physicians and homeopathic doctors immunized over 65,800 children with a homeopathic meningococcal nosode preparation. Another 23,500 children were not immunized. After a six-month follow-up, there was 95% efficacy rate and 91% efficacy rate even after 12 months. In 1994, a joint randomized double-blind clinical trial conducted by the University of Washington and the University of Guadalajara in Mexico to treat Nicaraguan infants and children under 6 years of age suffering from acute childhood diarrhea reported a statistically significant decrease in the duration of diarrhea compared to the control group, therefore throwing out the skeptics' claims of improvement due to a placebo effect. The flagship medical journal Pediatrics published that study, and the journal's editor faced a vicious backlash for its publication. The same study was then replicated 4 years later with children from Nepal and came up with the same results. A Swiss randomized double-blind placebo-controlled trial alongside a separate clinical observational study successfully noted statistically positive scientific evidence for the homeopathic treatment of children with ADHD, particularly in areas of behavior and cognitive dysfunction. And be reminded that skeptics make no distinction between a placebo and a homeopathic remedy. In their mind, it's only water. There are scores of patented psychoactive drugs, both stimulants and non-stimulants, prescribed for ADHD. Adderall, Ritalin, Concerta, Procentra, Wellbutrin, Guanfacine, and others, including some methamphetamine types. And yet consider for the moment the extensive list of adverse effects from these drugs' long-term use, including vomiting, weight loss, hair loss, dizziness, blurred vision, agitation, insomnia, increased blood pressure, repressed sexual drive, etc. By the way, that's just for one, Adderall alone. In addition, Adderall was issued a black box warning from the FDA when 51 children died. Yet it is estimated that 4.8 million people take Adderall, including 63,000 children 5 years and younger. And for Procentra, the drug's medication guide includes psychotic and manic symptoms in children, including hearing voices. It can worsen bipolar tendencies, and in adults, there's a heightened risk for sudden death from strokes and heart attacks. Ritalin, one of the most overprescribed drugs for ADHD and ADD, has been compared to cocaine, and its overuse has been associated with delirium, toxic psychoses, and hallucinations. Dr. Tim Harrington is head of the Reproducibility Project at the University of Virginia's Medical School. Replication, says Harrington, quote, is supposed to be a hallmark of scientific integrity. Reproducing a study's results simply means that a trial or experiment conducted in a laboratory should be reproducible in another lab. Homeopathic researchers understand the essential importance of follow-up studies to validate homeopathy's clinical performance. Dame Ottoline Leiser at the University of Cambridge, Great Britain, remarks that current conventional medical research has become, quote, a culture that promotes impact over substance, flashy findings over the dull confirmatory work that most scientists seek and is about. Otto Line argues that the private institutions funding the studies are a major problem in their eagerness to get the, quote, biggest bang for their bucks and to make headlines with, quote, exciting breakthroughs in the peer-reviewed literature. In other words, proprietary science is completely different than objective independent science. Moreover, because there is such a desperate need for independent research and reproducible studies, conventional drug-based efficacy increasingly fails in the long term. Failures to reproduce clinical studies plagued the pharmaceutical medical industry. Bayer was only able to reproduce 25% of its published work. The biotech giant Amgen could only replicate 6 out of 53 of its studies. In one case, Arrington's lab received the same tumor cell lines in the drugs and methodology from the laboratory performing the original research, but it failed to replicate the first trial's results. In other words, although we find these flawed and unconfirmed studies throughout the entire medical literature, the publisher of PubMed's medical video database reported that only 10% of them are reproducible in all of science. That means that a drug maker could conduct 100 clinical trials, 99 of them fail, and only the single study with a positive result would find its way into professional publications for fanfare. The CEO of the company, Dr. Moshe Pritzker, explain this in terms of the large amount of wasted tax dollars for useless research. He writes, quote, on a practical level, the U.S. government gives nearly $31 billion every year in science funding through the National Institutes of Health only, which is mainly distributed to research grants to academic scientists. The 10% reproducibility rate means that 90% of the money, $28 billion, is wasted. How are the taxpayers supposed to respond? Would you give more of your money to someone who delivered you such results? End quote. This is a serious dilemma in cancer research and anti-cancer drugs. The obvious question is whether or not the study's premises or methodologies were scientifically valid in the first place. Skeptics' paranoia towards the rising popularity in homeopathy and natural medicine complementary medical care now entertains conspiratorial delusions that these non-conventional therapies threaten national and global health. However, we do not find homeopaths acting as militant activists on the front lines to enforce their discipline upon the public. Science-based medicine does. Nor is there any effort or desire to monopolize public health information and federal policy. Science-based medicine does. And the thousands of pharmaceutical reps, the lobbyists, are always there at the FDA, the legislators' offices, the American Exchange Legislative Exchange Council, ALEC, at the state level. And also, homeopaths don't attack anyone. In any case, when you don't have a group working on your behalf to educate the public, when you do not have access to the mainstream media, when you're not called upon on a regular basis to give the latest example of a very special improvement in someone, a child with debilitating cancer that is recovered using homeopathy in the New York Times. It never happens. There are no forms for the homeopathic community, but there is a form for science-based medicine. And what we're seeing is that it's all one-sided. The attacks are only from mainstream medicine against homeopaths. Homeopaths have simply taken a beating. And yet, they are not belligerently proactive against conventional medicine. They do not ridicule and provide misinformation, as the skeptics do. No, to the contrary. Particularly in the United States, where life expectancy is dropping and medical error is large, And one of the number one causes of death in the United States is iatrogenesis. You would think there would be some sense of humility. A group of five MDs and PhDs, including medical academics, spent 5 years reviewing all the world's scientific literature and then American scientific literature, and we used only their figures in a report called Death by Medicine. It was sent out to over 7,000 scientific publications. It was posted where all medical doctors could review it and nurses. Not a single response occurred from it. Yet only using their figures, the number one cause of death and injury was American medicine. And that was every single year. So we did an analysis for the past 30 years. So if you're causing anywhere from 500,000 to a million people a year to die, let's just use an average of 700,000 per year, more or less. Well, 700,000 is a lot of people. After 10 years, it's 7 million. So you're dealing with over 20 million people in that 30-year period. Wouldn't you think that if there were 30 million people who died using only orthodox and conventional medical protocols, that that would get someone's attention? There would be some sense of concern that maybe we should change the protocols. Maybe we should re-examine what we're doing. But no, nothing has happened. Nothing. In a functioning society, absent of skepticism, scientific utopian hallucinations, this would be scandalous. Therefore, why are such efforts being made to destroy homeopathy when so much of traditional mainstream medicine has failed? We have identified several possible reasons. These are merely suppositions. First, American physicians, over 900,000 of them, and notably the skeptics who oppose homeopathy and other scientifically proven alternative medical modalities, are not intellectually capable of understanding the principles of homeopathy and hormesis. Skeptics are victims of their own strange loops, a term coined by Douglas Hofstadter, the Pulitzer Prize-winning professor of cognitive science and mathematics, which can account for the paradoxical irrational rationality so prevalent in skeptics' faulty reason when ranting in their comic diatribes against homeopathy and acupuncture and other alternative medicine. Skeptics are victims of scientific ignorance and exist within a local tribal tunnel reality of their own creation. But maybe that's not it. So let's look at a second possibility, that science-based medicine advocates are fully aware, fully capable intellectually and pragmatically of understanding the scientific literature supporting homeopathy, but have been institutionally conditioned to be biased against it. Let's even try a third, that they are fully aware, but homeopathy competes with their own preferred conventional therapies. The first possibility is undoubtedly important to consider because of what we see. And the second and third rationales are likely the case for the medical professionals who follow science-based medicine, skeptics, who have very sound grasp of many of homeopathy's underlying principles as well as quantum mechanics. Allowing science-based medicine spokespersons the benefit of the doubt that their blogs and guerrilla tactics are not directly receiving funds from Big Pharma and other private or professional medical interests, nevertheless, they are summarily choosing to deny any scientific evidence to support homeopathic's value. And yet, the studies are there. In Switzerland, one of the few remaining countries with a functioning democracy, when the government attempted to pass a measure to cease funding homeopathy healthcare services, 70% of the Swiss citizens voted against it and for homeopathy. That could never happen in America. Let's just be completely realistic. The United States left democracy behind long ago and replaced it with a corporatocracy driven by a very insulated oligarchy. This is not our personal conclusions, but that of political departments of Princeton and Northwestern universities that jointly reviewed over 1,200 signed legislative bills in Washington. The vast majority they discovered favored private invested interest over policies benefiting the general population. The skepticism's self-idolatry and narcissistic perception of itself finds itself in excellent company with the bastion of these elites. One of science-based medicine's more obvious irrational rationalities is its accusation that homeopathy kills patients. Reality check. No patients die from homeopathy. They die from their diseases. And if homeopathic preparations are nothing but plain inert water with no active medical properties, then their Hausfaster strange loop philosophy brings skeptics back to an absurd affirmation of the paranormal and the miraculous, which they categorically despise and condemn. In fact, this is an excellent practical example of the strange loop phenomena. In skepticism's ideal utopia, homeopathy and acupuncture and all of alternative medicine would be censored and banned altogether. And this is why skepticism's underlying fear and fantasies are so threatening and dangerous. Hannah Arendt, the noted social theorist and one of the 20th century's greatest thinkers to define the underlying structures and causes for totalitarianism, observed modern science's amoral trends potentially leading in this direction. We observe this operative throughout Wikipedia's permission for skeptics to censor and demonize homeopathic and other therapeutic practices. Following Arendt's logic, the skeptics and science-based medicine's reduction of all human life into materialistic processes that can only be observed and measured with instrumentation is woefully insufficient for any viable and effective medical paradigm. Consequently, skepticism's radical introspection, bowing to the omniscience of its faux perceptions of the mind and reason, as well as its irrational doctrine of plausibility, when it fails to understand something, has left its believers trusting only in that which they create themselves. As we noted earlier, Science-Based Medicine's Nonprofit Institute for Science and Medicine has a stated mission to influence national health policies. Its objective is to establish medical standards. However, these would be standards based upon a hidden ideology grounded in medical determinism and at the exclusion of other medical options that its followers loathe. These are the seeds of the scientific totalitarianism that aren't warned about. To proclaim itself as the light and truth of medicine, science-based medicine is grossly wrong. It is a deadly deception. Science-based medicine would serve the public good and improve healthcare if it undertook more concerted efforts to criticize the deficiencies and ethical bankruptcy being committed on its own side of the fence, rather than waste time and professional expertise to discredit homeopathy and chiropractic and Chinese and Ayurvedic medicine and herbal therapy and others. There may even be the potential for them to be humanitarians and contribute something praiseworthy to help solve our society's ills and healthcare crisis. I wouldn't hold my breath. Accumulatively, the more proven and accepted alternative medical practices are as safe as water in comparison to millions of patients' injuries and deaths attributed to conventional medicine and the pharmaceutical industry. Many pharmaceutical drugs now have FDA black box warnings. That is, the drug is so lethal and dangerous to health that even the FDA has to issue warnings about its use. Drug prescription injuries and cost of human life is astronomical. We will spend over $3.3 trillion this year on our medical-industrial complex. We'll have very few successful outcomes except for emergency medicine because of that. Just ask yourself, when was the last time someone treated for depression or anxiety, for high blood pressure or arthritis or other conditions, had complete cures, went off all medications? No. The side effects or intended effects are to keep a person on medications for life. But every drug has a side effect. And think of all the senior citizens that are on multiple drugs. Some of those drugs are to help deal with the side effects of other drugs. Over-the-counter Tylenol accounts for 150 deaths every year. Drug prescription injuries and cost of to the American senior citizen alone, 9.6 million adverse drug reactions just in our senior citizens. 8% of Parkinson's cases are induced by drugs for treating other unrelated health conditions. Approximately 61,000 seniors will come down with drug-induced Parkinsonianism annually. Psychiatric drugs kill 50% more people than heroin overdoses. In 2014, psychiatric medications accounted for 15,778 deaths. In one meta-analysis of 19 trials following over 326,000 patients taking digoxin and lanoxin, the most common prescribed forms of digitalis for atrial fibrillation and heart failure, there was a 21% increased risk of death compared to patients not taking the medications. In other U.S. statistics, 41,000 hospitalized and over 3,300 dead from ulcers caused by non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. That's just in 1 year. 163,000 cases of serious mental impairment, memory loss, and dementia due to tranquilizers and high blood pressure and antipsychotic drugs. 2 million Americans, adults, addicted to sleeping pills. 73,000 cases of irreversible drug-induced tardive dyskinesia from antipsychotic drugs. And that's just the tip of it. With a growing awareness about drug health risks, a person would be foolish not to explore the benefits of homeopathy and other natural health regimens. Contrarily, according to Dr. Tournier, during the past 30 years, only 4 deaths can be directly associated with homeopathy, and these, according to Dr. Tournier, are caused by mismanagement when the patient should have been sent to a medical physician or hospital. Fortunately, there is a quantum shift occurring in medical paradigms, a theory of transition to the scientific ethos and psyche proposed in the early 1960s by MIT scientist historian Professor Thomas Kuhn. More people than ever before are becoming consciously responsible for their own health and adopting alternative therapeutic regimens, including homeopathy. Although failing to reach mainstream media's headlines, these alternative systems have long been tested and proven by evidence-based scientific research. Evidence-based medicine, regardless of its many faults, nevertheless does seek to distinguish between medical truths and falsehoods. On the other hand, given the extensive medical literature on alternative health, science-based medicine's single-minded disinformation is a fallacy, a victim of its absolutist fantasies. Just imagine that you're a person that's overweight. You have diabetes. Imagine you've been giving medications for your high blood pressure, for your diabetes, for your neuropathy. At nighttime, you can't sleep, so you're given another medication. You might be on 6 or 7 medications, including insulin. Now say that you went to your doctor and said, "Doctor, I'm having trouble with these conditions and having trouble. My legs are swelling. I'm gaining weight. I feel dizzy." The doctor will try to reimagine what could be done with the drugs, either lessening or increasing the dosages or adding different drugs or taking away drugs. But it's all a pharmacological approach. And yet there are hundreds, in fact, a few thousand physicians in the United States. Most are board certified. Most are non-controversial. They're not in any headlines. But they quietly go about using a person lifestyle, getting them exercising, getting them on a plant-based or Mediterranean-type diet, getting them to do some stress management, trying yoga, meditation, power walking. And along comes improvements. And the person goes back to their doctor, say, "Doctor, I lost over 60 pounds. My blood pressure is now normal. My blood sugar, which was 220, is now down to 80. And it's staying there. I no longer have headaches. I'm able to sleep through the night." And the doctor says, "Well, whatever you're doing, keep it up." But the doctor does not ask, "Exactly what are you doing? Let me take a look at it. Let me see if there's anything in what you're doing that I could share with other patients." That is the disconnect. And that's what people are sensing. They're not being treated as a whole human being, but rather a series of broken parts with symptoms to be treated. But we must also ask, how expensive is medicine? For decades, it was the number one cause of bankruptcy. Then came home foreclosures, which made it number two. Now it's back to number one again. So homeopathy is extremely cost-effective. Dr. Prasanta Banerjee has called this 200-year-old medical system the people's medicine. And this is one clear rationale for the complete and utter failure of homeopathy gaining an iota of respect within the modern medical paradigm. Nobody can profit from it. You can't patent the drugs. Even very sound laboratory research conducted by the Indian Institute for Technology, a nanopresence of homeopathic solutions, are categorically being rejected from medical journals because the word homeopathy appears in the paper. In fact, homeopathy is the original nanomedicine, a more recent trend rapidly growing in pharmaceutical medicine. However, homeopathy is intentionally excluded from being considered as such. To win the war on medical truth, skepticism needs to be called out for what it genuinely is: an aberrant form of destructive skepticism masquerading as the arbiters of authentic science. Only by exposing these individuals and organizations, the flaws in their irrational rationalities, and the regressive system of healthcare they represent that threatens the well-being of the public, will homeopathy have any chance of gaining a wider acceptance that it deserves. In conclusion, I have found that the attacks on homeopathy are unjustified. I mentioned on a recent broadcast that the idea that we have to have more studies and more studies and more studies, if we had no studies, absolutely correct. If we did not have 200 years of empirical evidence, then yes. But when you've had hundreds of millions of people benefiting from a therapy, when you have schools, in fact, at one time, the major colleges in the United States or medical schools were homeopathic schools, and people went there to study and learn homeopathy. And when you realize that all that has been erased from people's consciousness in the history of medicine, and that homeopathy has had over 2,500 studies, many double-blind, placebo-controlled, they don't need another study. If someone wants to say, we're going to follow your exact protocols, and we'll see if we come up with the same results, good for them. That I certainly am open to. Otherwise, they're having a game that is being played. So this is the final message to all the people supporting homeopathy or homeopaths themselves. You will never win playing their game. They will keep insisting, well, we'll accept you if you have these studies published in these particular journals and following these standards. Well, you can turn around and say, we've done that. What's next? We have the evidence. We have better evidence for what we do than you have for what you do. We're not proprietary. You're all proprietary. So when you stop this absurd game they're playing, then you'll get out of the tobacco industry, the asbestos industry, the cyclamate, the saccharin, the Agent Orange, dioxin, the DDT games, where they don't want to take responsibility for the failures of a particular system of science or consumer products, so they say more studies are needed. And 30 years later, more studies are needed. And 100 years later, more studies are needed. There are no more studies needed in homeopathy or chiropractic or Chinese medicine. None. What you need to do is turn around and realize that the entire health field, and I've known a lot of people in this health field, have had to apologize for healing, apologizing for helping people, apologize for having successful treatments, including reversal of diseases that mainstream medicine could never do. Dean Ornish is but one example. We also have Marshall Mandel. We have Robert Hoffman. We have people who have helped thousands of patients using natural, non-toxic means, and yet they're put into a position to be defensive and apologize for their successes. And yet medicine, orthodox medicine, never apologizes for its mistakes. It's rewarded no matter how many toe tags occur, and no matter how much suffering financially and emotionally a patient goes through in their family. The doctors don't give the money back when they fail, nor do they apologize, nor do they seek to say, is there something we could do completely differently? Are there other systems working that we should pay attention to use in combination with ours? That conversation never happens. So it's time you realize that you have spent decades, hundreds of years, being defensive when you were right all along. I'm Gary Noll. Thank you all for listening to today's program, a special in-depth original investigative report, Something is Long Overdue, Killing Homeopathy and America's Freedom of Health Choices. Have a nice day.